Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I have to just say, I am really excited about this show today because it's going to be so much fun. My guest is Kara Mayer Robinson, and Kara is an esteemed journalist. Oh, yes, she is. She is a celebrity interviewer. Oh, yes, she is. And she's also a podcaster, just like me. And the name of her podcast is Really Famous. It is the perfect name for her show because of the really famous people she interviews. Hi, Kara. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Marcia. It is so good to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to talk.
Well, great, because talking is what we both do. Except today, I'm going to flip the role. And instead of you being the one that's conducting an interview or what I like to say a conversation, we're going to be hearing about your stories. And what better way to start than to just get to know you? So I heard Spanky and our gang start to sing, I'd like to get to know you. Yes, I would. But that's okay. What I'd like to know is, could you just share a little bit about yourself? You know, just tell us about you.
Sure. Well, I think you already started with your intro. I was a journalist, and then I turned into a podcaster. I have been interviewing celebrities for years. I also happen to be a licensed therapist, so that may have something to do with why I like interviewing people in depth. And, so I started Really Famous a little over 2 years ago, and ever since I've been interviewing famous people, mostly actors and TV personalities and film stars and that sort of thing, and hearing their stories. And like you said earlier, yes, I've been getting to know each person's individual stories. So that's me in a nutshell. I mean, there's much more to me, but that's what I've been doing recently, and I love it.
You're on the East Coast too, right? You are a New Yorker.
Yes.
Girl.
Yes, I'm based in New York, and that's where I do most of my interviews, although I go out to California maybe two or three times a year. I spend about a week out there, and I just schedule a whole bunch of interviews and meet a lot of people, and it's an action-packed week, and I love it, and I come back, and then I run them one by one.
Isn't that great? So let's start about, because I really would like to know a little bit more about you. So you mentioned that you're a trained psychotherapist, which I can see where you could really apply that to what you do in just your thought processes with people. But how did your journey begin in the entertainment field itself? I believe you were a journalist, correct, for magazines?
Yes, but before I was a journalist, I was a therapist. But if you want to go way back to the roots of entertainment, it really goes back to when I was a child. I was just so into TV and movies, just so into them, just as an interest, a passion, a hobby. And when I went to college, my plan was to study TV and film production. But it just didn't work out that way. You know how things change when you're in college. You end up taking different classes and finding yourself on a different path, sort of. So I got a degree in accounting, of all things, which it's like not really like my personality, but it happened. What can I say? So I started working for a bank for a year, and I was miserable, of course. So I moved back up north and got a job in New York with Comedy Central. And that I wasn't at Comedy Central because I wanted to be in entertainment. I was there because I was looking for a job that would use my business skills. And when the recruiter said, oh, I have something at Comedy Central, I was like, oh, yeah, Comedy Central. Love it. So I got a job there. But I really wasn't happy there either. And when you're at Comedy Central, I mean, give me a break. The walls are like super bold colors and fun, and they have this big coffee area, and all the comedians would hang out there, and it was really fun. But at the same time, I was doing this like business work all day, and so I knew something had to change, and I ended up going to grad school at that point, and that's when I studied psychology. So I know you're wondering, how did you go from this to that? But it also had to do with Comedy Central, because while I was there, I was so bored with the work that I was doing, to be totally honest. But I was not bored with my coworkers, who would often come into my office and just like kick up their feet and tell me all of their problems and just unload all their problems and ask me for advice. And I knew that that was what I loved. And so at the time, going back again to my roots in entertainment, I was, I guess that at that time period, I was watching a lot of TV Land or something. And I remember watching the Bob Newhart show. If you remember, he was a psychiatrist.
Of course.
All right. And he would sit in an office and just listen to people's stuff all day long. And I thought to myself, you know, I could totally do that. And so that's what brought me to, I went to Columbia University and I got my master's and I became a therapist. And so I know you're wondering, okay, so a therapist to journalist probably, but so I was a therapist for a few years, and then I started writing. On the side, I wanted to write a self-help book because I thought, oh, it would be so easy to write one, and I see them doing so well at Barnes & Noble. I think I could do that. So I sent out a book proposal to a lot of literary agents, and they all said the same thing. Like, it sounds like a great idea, but you have no platform, you've never been published, so talk to us later when you've been published. Which, you know, how do you get published if you're not published? And then how do you, it's like a...
Exactly.
You can't do it. So anyway, I did start writing articles, and then I, for magazines, and I just kept kind of moving up the ladder, up the ladder, up the ladder, and I started to really start to focus on profiling people, so writing big profiles, like juicy, in-depth profiles, and even smaller, like a little fluffier profiles, doing Q&As and that sort of thing, but I really liked it, so I realized that that was a thing that I didn't want to give up, and then I decided to start a podcast so that I could really go in depth and not have to edit everything out, just take the whole big conversation and let everyone hear these great conversations that I was having. And that's how it all happened in a nutshell.
But what's great about that and what you and I share, although you're pretty famous, I love the opportunity, just like you do, whether you're really famous or not. The bottom line is we're all human. And hearing people's stories about whatever it is that they do, that they want to reveal, that they want people to know about, is a unifier, in my opinion. It's what's missing sometimes when we put the TV on. Like you, we were very much a TV family. We watched a lot of TV. I think there was a time where my son could have probably done every role in Friends and knew the script. He just could speak it. He knew it. And, it's just interesting the different ways that television and film, and you find yourself, I find myself quoting films all the time just because the language just seems to hit at the right spot, and you're going, oh, yeah, those aren't pillows. And you're going... You just looked at me and you're going, what are you talking about? It's like, well, then you didn't see Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, because that was a pretty funny line in that movie. And so we watched, my family was very much a TV family, so I can certainly understand why you loved it. And then the whole Bob Newhart thing with Suzanne Pleshette, of course, we watched those shows. And it's very interesting how your journey got you to where you are today as a podcaster. So what is it that you like most? Because you produce, you do the whole shebang, don't you? I mean, you are a one-stop person, aren't you?
Pretty much. I mean, I do have interns who help, but, yeah, I'm pretty much running the whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, there are all different facets of it that I have to think about and make happen. But for sure, my favorite part is sitting down with the celebrity and having an in-depth conversation. Like you and I were talking earlier about Tim Gunn. He was one of the first podcasts I did, Tim Gunn from Project Runway. And I mean, just sitting in his apartment with him and talking about this, that, and everything for a few hours was pure joy. I mean, sometimes I sit there and I have to pinch myself because I can't believe that I'm having this great conversation with somebody who, let's say, I've been watching on TV or in the movies for years. Like Ed Asner is another one, thinking of TV Land. He's in that same realm.
Oh,
like, I couldn't believe I was sitting in Ed Asner's house, and I'm sitting there and, like, just having a real conversation with him. So cool. And recently another person, Marion Ross from Happy Days, similarly. So, like, a lot of those old-school TV stars I get a big thrill from. But also from, like, the newer people. I just recently interviewed Alan Cumming. I don't know if you know him. He was in The Good Wife. He played Eli Gold, and he has his own show now called Instinct on CBS. And he was the he played the MC in Cabaret, and he is just tremendous. And I find them all so interesting. They all have such different stories, like you were saying. But also, I just love to have that connection with them. And I don't always connect with everybody, but that is my goal, and I do find it kind of natural to do. So that's definitely my favorite part. Believe it or not, the booking part of it, like booking the celebrities, I actually enjoy that too. That, I think a lot of people would not want to do that because it's really hard and it really takes a lot of time and you have to kind of like let things roll off your back. But to me, there is something about that challenge, that hunt of, oh yes, let's see, can we get this person, or you know, is this person right for my show? So a little bit of both. And I just think that's fun too. So those are my favorite parts of it. The other aspects of it, to be honest, I could do without. You know, the technical things, the equipment, all of that, it's really not my strength, but it just comes with the job, so I've learned how to do it.
Well, you know, it's really interesting what you just said, because when I talk with my friends about what I've been doing, and I've been actually podcasting for almost 4.5 years now. Well, I've been doing my show for 4.5 years. I started in a studio for the first 3 years, but so it was audio and visual, and I did have a YouTube channel as well, like you do, and I will be talking about that in a little while. But I think that we cannot, as people, as humans, as my friend would say, we can't know everything about everything. And you look at your strengths and you say, okay, maybe not the technical person here, but this camera guy or this sound person or whatever, they know about that. So I'm just going to ease off on that and trust that they can do that. You like the booking, you like the conversations. But my guess is that, you know, when you talk about booking, there's a level of rejection there that you have to be prepared for, because just because you want, you know, somebody famous on your show doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get them. And so do you go through their publicists? How do you get to the Tim Gunns and the Ed Asner?
Well, it's in assorted ways. And you, first, to say something about what you had said, yes, there is a level of rejection. It is huge. I think people don't realize it, but that's, I think for any successful person, there's so much rejection involved. And so a big part of kind of climbing the ladder, or whatever it is you want to say, getting to make your dreams happen or whatever, it involves like all this rejection. So you can't let the rejection stop you. So, okay, then to answer your question though, how do I book celebrities? It is all different. So Tim, for example, I had already interviewed him a few years earlier for the New York Times. I did a piece with him about his Sunday routine, what he typically does on a Sunday. And that was actually one of the things that happened that made me think I should do a podcast. I had went to his place in New York, and the Sunday routine piece was going to be, I don't know, 800 words or something like that. It's a short piece. And I sat there with him for almost 3 hours. We had such a great conversation. And I came home. He had loved it. I loved it. We were both in such a good mood afterwards. I came home and my husband said, how was it? I said, oh, so good, but it's like so sad that I can only use 800 words of this spectacular conversation. And it was in that moment that he said, oh, you should start a podcast. And that's actually what started me thinking about it. I didn't start it right away, but that is what started me thinking about it. And then when I did eventually do the show, the first thing I did was I went to some celebrities who I had already interviewed and who I guess I had goodwill with them because they could see that I wasn't one of these journalists who was trying to catch them, snag them, and have them say something that they shouldn't or whatever it is. And they liked my interviews then as a journalist. So I went to them and I asked them if they would be on my show. I'm starting a podcast. And much to my surprise, they all said yes. So I had a nice batch of celebrities to start out with. Tim was one of them. Damon John from Shark Tank was another. Debbie Mazar from, well, she's in the show Younger now, but you might remember her from Goodfellas and Entourage. she's great too. And yeah. Tim Daly from Wings, you may remember, and he's in Madam Secretary now. So he was another one at the beginning who I just called. And so I do have these contacts now, but I also work with publicists as well, and they come and pitch to me as well. So it's just a matter of me deciding, you know, who's right for the show. And lots of times I will, if I'm watching something on TV, let's say, and I see an actor and I think to myself, that person seems like they'd be, I feel like I want to get to know this person a little bit more than on the screen, and then I will reach out to them. And if I don't have a contact, I'll just reach out to their publicist or whatever and try to make that work. And that's the kind of the way that it goes.
Well, like you said, I think you said you've been doing this for a couple of years now. People are not going to say yes to you unless they understand that, number one, you're authentic, you're honest, you're real, you're not looking to capitalize, you're just looking to have a conversation or interview, as this is often called in our business, with somebody to tell their story. I mean, when you watch people on, I'm just going back to Tim Gunn because I have watched Project Runway for many, many years, and you just want to hang out with him. And yeah. I think that maybe that's what kind of what you're saying. It's like, I would really like to get to know you. I think it would be great to take a walk. And you live here and I live there. Come on over. Let me go show you where I love watching the birds. You know, he just seems like such a real person. And he is. But that doesn't mean he necessarily wants to do a podcast with you. So it says a lot about you that you go over to his house and you end up spending 3 hours there. I mean, that must have really been fun, and I can see where that would have launched you into what you do and why you love doing this. And I just want to mention for people that are listening, and if you're a Google person like a lot of us, you can just simply go to reallyfamouspodcast.com. So it's just the way it sounds, reallyfamouspodcast.com. And they can find you. And also, you do have a YouTube that's just youtube.com, really famous, and people can watch you. I'm trying to think. I was watching one just the other day. You were in a restaurant with, oh, gosh, I'm trying to think of the name of the star.
Chaz Palminteri?
Yes, yes, that's exactly
right.
Yeah, because
I think he was the only one I interviewed in a restaurant. I did it because it was his restaurant. So he owns that restaurant. So I went to his restaurant and we sat in the back and did an interview there. Yes.
Wasn't that fun?
Yes, it was fun. There I am sitting with Chaz Palminteri again. And not only just sitting there with him, but having these conversations that are so deep. So it's my approach as well is like I don't want to ask the same questions that they get asked all the time. I can't stand it. I don't want to hear their bottled answers that they're not doing it intentionally necessarily, but because they're so used to saying the same thing, it just comes out almost rote. Like they don't even have to think about it. So I don't do that. So I get into a real conversation with them. So here I am with Chaz Palminteri, for example, and we're talking about how he decided to go see a therapist when he started to, before he made it big with his show and then movie, A Bronx Tale, and he knew that he was going to be making it big, and he thought, I better see a therapist for this because I think I'm going to be famous and I don't know how to handle it. And so here that I'm talking to him about that. It was so cool. And then a little later, we're talking about the fact that he had dyslexia, and growing up, he felt like he was, you know, really like dumb or stupid or the word is the word that he used. And It was such a real conversation. I'm thinking to myself, I see this guy, you know, in Analyze That or The Usual Suspects or Bronx Tale, and he's like this tough guy all the time, and here I am having this really like soft conversation with him. It was really cool. So, and yes, Tim was totally great to hang out with, and Tim is exactly who you think he is, who you see on TV. That is Tim in real life. And the fact that he liked it so much too made me feel even better, you know what I mean? So, and it's great. So I just emailed him the other day to wish him a happy birthday and whatnot. So I love to also keep up these connections with them even after the interview's over.
Well, because they become part of your circle, and I'm sure that not every person that you've interviewed that you feel the same way. There's levels of connections, but
definitely.
I would just say back to Tim, and because I happen to like that show and I just liked his style and I just liked the way he spoke to people, it just seems so sincere. And I can remember times when he would just cry with some of these contestants, you know, because he just, I don't know, that he was just captured. And I can imagine how he was your platform to say, gosh, you know, there are a lot of other Tim Gunns there out in the world. Maybe they do something different. This person does this, this person does that. But, you know, I can see where that would be a wonderful launching pad for you. So, so how did you go about building this YouTube channel? Because there are people that just think nothing of just doing a whole YouTube thing, but it's a lot harder than it might seem. So how did you go about creating and building that YouTube channel?
Well, for a while when I was starting, when the podcast was new, I did have a lot of people say to me, well, what about, can't you do this on video? Or like, I want to see this interview. Or a lot of people did suggest that I do a video too, but you know, the nature of the podcast is it's audio only, and I do also believe that the audio nature of it makes it even better for intimacy because you feel like you're listening to people like right in your head, they're in your ears, and there's nothing to distract you, and I do think that's a good thing. And I also think that it helps people talk more easily as well if they don't feel like there's a camera on them. I know that I feel much more self-conscious when there's a camera on me. So I was reluctant to do it for a long time for those reasons. And then at one point I decided to just take out my phone and just take a little, maybe a 1 minute quick little video Q&A after I was done with the interview, just to post it on social media, because social media is big too. And yeah, there are a lot of people who follow me on social media who, you know, I want to share these little things with. And social media is a more visual, especially Instagram. It's a more visual medium. So I don't remember who I started doing it with, but one of the celebrities, I took out this camera. It may have been Chaz Palminteri, who I did the first time, actually. I took up camera, and I just did a quick little thing. And then I started to do that a little bit more and a little bit more, and then somehow it started to build up to like a 5-minute Q&A that I would do at the end. And I would just sit behind the camera and ask them questions that would be just the celebrity on camera. And then I guess it was, so then I just threw it up on it on the YouTube channel. And quite honestly, when I started the podcast, the hosting service that I use had said, like, listen, we also can put it on YouTube for you. It'll be a static image. It won't be a video. But some people do actually listen to podcasts on YouTube. And that's true, by the way, because there are people that I have heard back from listeners saying that that is actually how they listen to all their podcasts on YouTube. So, and if for somebody who is used to using YouTube but not used to using podcast apps, that's fine. They can just put it on and then, boom, they can listen right there. So I automatically have every podcast episode get downloaded to that YouTube channel. So I started that almost right off the bat, but it was just these static images with the long podcast episode because each podcast is about an hour or so. And then I started adding these little Q&A videos. And it was one that I did with Michael Imperioli. He was on The Sopranos. He played Christopher Moltisanti, one of the main characters. And I did this Q&A with him. And I stuck it up there, and I had recorded it on my phone, like with no tripod or anything. I was just sitting there trying to hold it steady. And the room was echoey. It was not good conditions at all. And for some reason, that video hit pretty well. I guess, I don't know if YouTube put it on their recommended viewings or whatever happened. I don't know. But I started getting flooded with comments about the video. The people really liked the video. They liked the interview. Some people didn't. I got a lot of hate comments, too. Or maybe not
really?
Hate, but negative comments. I did. I got a lot of negative comments about the quality of the video and the quality of the audio. And they were right about that, by the way. They were, because I had no idea what I was doing. I just pulled out my phone and asked them some questions at the end of the whole podcast. So, but I got many more positive things, and people shared the video. They loved it because I was asking him questions that people hadn't asked him before. So it was like that part of it was good, but the technical part wasn't great. And that's what made me realize, okay, I had better keep going with this YouTube thing because, you know, it really can catch on. And then more recently, I don't know, maybe about 6 months ago, I decided to make a highlight reel of the show, and I knew that the videos were going to be, I didn't want to make a podcast highlight reel. That's just audio. So I wanted to make a video reel. So I had a pretty wide assortment of celebrities that I could put on, but I also realized that I should put myself on as well because I also do some TV hosting now. So it was like a reel that could also show my, you know, my skills as a TV interviewer. So I started adding these interviews at the end where both of us are talking, and I even have a few of them where the whole interview was recorded, so as a video as well. So that's kind of a nice extra that people who like seeing the videos, you know, they can see it all on YouTube.
I would agree with you, and I you know, it's funny you mentioned about doing some TV hosting. It just seems to me like a perfect transition for you to be not only a podcaster and a journalist, but hosting, you know, just being on some of these shows. I could really see where you would really add to a television show by just the experiences that you have. And I think it's really exciting. And I live in a pretty city with a lot of actors and people in the entertainment field. You happen to live also in New York. You had mentioned that you had been in California a while back, and I think you were interviewing the gal from Gina Rodriguez, Jane the Virgin, on her last final episode. And I believe you were you speaking to the woman that played her mom on that show? Is that who you were visiting with?
No, I interviewed Jaime Camille, who plays Rogelio de la Vega. That's her father on the show.
Oh, her father. Okay.
Yeah, it's Jane the Virgin's father, Rogelio. His name in real life is Jaime Camille. So I had him on the show. One of my trips to California, I did go visit him. We went to a studio, and he was probably the first one who I had the full video for, because when we set up the interview, his people set it up and said, oh, why don't we can use this studio over here, because his manager actually owns the studio and they record podcasts and whatnot at this studio. So if you want, we'll do it there. So I said, great, let's do it there. So I show up at the studio and they were all set for us. They had all the equipment. They did all the recordings, and there was even a TV camera set up, and they recorded the whole thing on camera, which was fabulous. I couldn't even believe it. I didn't have to lift a finger, and here I had all of this footage. And so then they gave it to me, and I put it up on the YouTube channel. So that was fabulous, and he's such a great guy to see. I mean, he's so funny on screen. He's like, he steals every scene, and he's so great. So it was really a treat that I actually got that. And then later I interviewed somebody else from Jane the Virgin, but not somebody you see on screen. He's the narrator of the show, who is just so fabulous. His voice and what he's
said.
And his name is Anthony.
go on. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Anthony.
His name is Anthony Mendez, and he's so talented.
Well, what was so interesting about the conclusion of that show was his role in that 1 hour prior to the final show with the wedding. And what is particularly interesting to me and my friends that live here in this community where I live know this, that Gina Rodriguez lives five houses down from me on my street. And, you know, you don't normally just live with people that are on television. I mean, it's just not what you commonly do. And she is just the most amazing woman. I so love her natural way of being. The person you see on television, on screen, is the same person that walks her dogs. And that last show with all the different people that were involved in it was really enjoyable to watch. And it's just funny how people, I find, and you probably find the same thing, Kara, that when you just start talking to people, you realize, oh, there's that connection. Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right, I do know him, I do know her, or we do this, or that person goes to my gym, or whatever it might be. If I find that in conversations we do find connections in so many different ways, which I think is another beautiful thing, whether you are in the States or you're traveling abroad. It unifies us. And what you do and what I do just makes people feel good. And we could certainly use more and more of that each day based on just the times that we're living in. And I just think that I'd like to know how you feel when you have these conversations with these people. How are you feeling? Well, that sounds like a therapist question, but I am curious to know, you know, I'm curious to know how you personally feel when you're talking to these people.
Yes, I will tell you, but first I have to backtrack to what you said about Gina Rodriguez. Yes. So how is she? Do you talk to her when she's walking her dogs?
Say that once again.
Do you talk to her when she's walking her dogs?
Well, do you want to do you want to hear my Gina story? We have time.
Of course.
Let me tell you my Gina story. So there's a Loyola Marymount University is in my backyard, the three blocks away, and that's where I walk. And I'm walking home from my walk that morning, and I'm walking towards my house, and I see this woman with two dogs, Marty and Casper, two little white dogs, and this woman, and she's walking her two dogs. And as she's approaching my house and I'm approaching my house, she says, "Oh, I just love your landscape." Now, I don't know her from Adam. I don't recognize her. I don't know who she is. And I said, "Oh, you think the front yard looks good? You ought to see the backyard." So now I've walked her into my backyard, and she's going, "Oh, my boyfriend Joey. Oh, no, he's not my boyfriend. He's my fiancé. My fiancé Joey, he would just love what you've done in your yard." And I said, "Well, I feed the birds. As you can see, there's bird seed all over the place. And the hawk sometimes lands in my yard, too." She says, "Oh, I know. I've seen the hawk." And so we're just talking. I said, "Well, I can give you the name of my landscaper, and we're just walking back out to the front. And I'm going to just, I'm a real person. I'm just going to say what I was honestly thinking, as shallow as this might sound." So I said, "Well, you know, do you live around here?" And she says, "I do. I live in the house down where the yellow door is." And I'm thinking to myself, how do you afford to live in this community? I mean, I'm looking at her, and she looks like she's somebody in her early 30s. And I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. And so I said, "Well, what do you do?" And she says, "I'm an actress." And I said, "Oh?" She said, have you heard of the TV show Jane the Virgin? I said, "I have." She said, "I'm Jane." I went, "Oh, okay." And I'm thinking to myself, I better watch this show, right? So we're just, she is so huggable. She's so lovable that I just continued to walk with her down to her house so she could show me her backyard. And she's just so real and so charming and so interested in lifting the Hispanic woman. And just, it was just a great meeting, a great meeting. And she's just a lovely person. And it's like, oh God, now you've told blabbermouth of the community. Now everybody and their uncle's going to be knocking on the yellow door. I hope that doesn't happen. But I did just paint my door yellow, but that's beside the point. But, you know, so that she's really a cool person. But that we got off track, and I didn't mean to tell you that whole long story.
No, that's a fun story. You should be telling that story. That sounds nice. I like to hear when people are so real like that. It sounds great. It sounds like a very real person. And, yeah, I mean, Jane the Virgin is a show. I actually didn't watch it until I knew that I was interviewing Jaime Camille. So I started watching it then because his reps had come to me. And so I started watching it, and I was hooked almost instantly. And I just have been watching it ever since. I mean, obviously it just ended, but it's a great show. Love it.
Yes, it's really fun.
So getting back to your question, question was how do I feel when I'm interviewing or having these conversations? So I feel great. I love them. Love, love, love. I mean, I could do it every day. It is my favorite thing to do. When there are times when it's been a while between interviews, like let's say a couple of weeks or something, I feel blah. Like I need the interviews. Mm-hmm. I feel more of myself when I'm doing them. During those weeks that I'm in LA doing so many back-to-back, I feel really good. I mean, by the end of the week, I'm tired because there's a lot to keep track of, and like I have to download all of the audio and do the video and charge all the batteries, and all of that takes work. So that drains me a bit, but it's actually, I'm in my element at that point where I'm really just doing what I love to do. And it's funny, we'll go back to Tim Gunn again, because I remember at the end of the second interview that I had with him, so the first three-hour interview was for the Times, and then the second three-hour interview was for the podcast. And at the end of that, as I was leaving, he said to me, oh, you're probably going to be exhausted after this. You know, I can only imagine. And I said, no, I get revived. I mean, I am energetic after these interviews. I just feel so good afterwards. And he said, oh, I feel like I would be so drained. And I think that's normal for most people, but it does the opposite for me. So I just love it. It's very rare that I'm in an interview or after an interview and not feeling great. Very rare.
I can concur. The after stuff, that all of that technical part and the downloading and all of these different things, I'm a blogger, so I blog. All of that stuff actually takes much more time than the actual interview that I have with my guests. And I do my show every Monday. How often do you do your podcast? Is it on a regular basis?
Well, I release the podcast every Monday. So once a week, there's a podcast that gets released, and I've been releasing videos every Sunday. So there's a video every Sunday and a podcast every Monday. And I just want to jump back in on the YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/reallyfamous. I know you said you didn't use the slash, which I'm sure everybody could figure that out anyway, but I figure I'd just cross my T's and dot my I's. So it's youtube.com/reallyfamous. The video is Sundays, and I release a new podcast every Monday. It's not always new. In the summer, I've been doing some re-releases, but in the fall, I'll probably be doing them weekly again with a brand new episode. But I don't record them on any set schedule. So, as you can imagine, celebrities aren't always available all the time. So I have to be flexible with them. So, for example, even if somebody is based in New York, if they are filming a television series, so, for example, Cela Ward, she's on FBI on CBS. And so Cela Ward was in town, I think maybe 6 months of the year, whatever, filming it. They don't get their filming schedules until usually the Friday before they have to film. So they don't even know when they're available, if they're going to be on set that day, if they're not, et cetera, et cetera. So I have to kind of be very last minute about the interviews to some degree, unless they have, let's say they're scheduled to come to New York for this week and they're setting everything up in advance. And then I might know a little bit more in advance. But some weeks I will have two or three interviews. Other weeks I will have none, but I think it averages out to probably one or two a week, I guess, and then maybe an off week, something like that.
I know how much work that is. I have a keen appreciation. When shows come across comfortable, natural conversations, I tell my guests, you know, we're just sitting at Starbucks, or we're just sitting with our feet in the water at the beach. You know, it's a conversation. It still isn't without preparation before and after. And I don't know how much time you spend in preparation for your shows. Do your guests have a sense of what you're going to be asking them ahead of time? Do you work with publicists or your guests to be prepared for your show, or do you just let it fly freewheeling?
No, I prefer to fly freewheeling. I don't even know where it's going to go. I mean, I have some ideas of things that I want to touch upon, but I like it to be unstructured, and so I tell them the same thing if they want to know, that we're just getting very natural, and it's going to go wherever it happens to go. And, you know, they know that there are a few things that I'm probably going to want to bring up. If somebody was in, you know, like, for example, Tippi Hedren, I interviewed her, and she knows I'm going to ask her about the birds and about Hitchcock, of course. But at the same time, we talked about other things that she probably wasn't expecting. And so I don't like to tell them anything unless they feel like they want to know, in which case I'll say it's, you know, pretty loose. And we may talk about, we'll talk a little bit about work, about life, and kind of see where it goes. So, yeah, very unstructured.
You know, it's funny about Tippi Hedren, because she's in this side of the country. And I remember, so long ago, didn't she start a reserve, an animal reserve?
Yeah, she lives on it. Yeah, she lives
that's
on
what
an
I
animal
thought.
Reserve, and that's
yes.
where I went to interview her. It was such a treat. I drove up through the mountains, like north of L.A., and into like what feels like the middle of nowhere, but because she has this big animal preserve, and she has big cats on it, lions and tigers, and
big
she
cats,
saves them.
Right.
Yes, and she is adorable, and her whole, I guess you call it a, I don't know if you call it a ranch or a home or what, but it's filled with animal prints of all kinds. It's absolutely delicious. Mm. She has throw pillows and her the material on her couches, it's all animal print. She wears animal print. I mean, she does not just say that she does it. She lives it. She even told me a story about when she and her husband, when she raised a lion cub in her house in the valley. This is a fact.
Because of the landscape of just this area of Southern California between the oceans and the mountains and the deserts, that's why people love living here, we will see on a fairly regular basis a mountain lion that's loose in the valley somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just recently one that actually crossed the freeway. They don't know how it happened. It was tracked. They can't imagine how it safely got across. I think it was the 405 freeway. They're really going to study that to figure out how it is that animal was able to get across. But, you know, she's very well known for what she does for animals, and you know, and that just makes her, like you said, more interesting than just, I don't want to say than just, but being just an actress, there's also this other aspect of her, and I think that's really awesome. And I, you know, it makes me wonder this question for you, maybe something for you to think about, but if you could just have a conversation or an interview with anyone, whether, let's just say anyone, dead or alive, who would be like, oh my gosh, this is the person that I really, on the top of my bucket list, who would that be?
Marcia, I have a full list, believe me. I have I can't limit it to one person. I have a list. I mean, literally, I have saved a list in my phone because people ask me this a lot. Who is your dream guest?
Really?
And I do. I have so many dream guests. And I talk about them on the show, too. But so much so that recently I decided to make a little video about it. So that's on my YouTube channel. It's actually, I made a little game out of it. I called it Guess My Dream Guests. And so I did a little intro, and then I said, okay, now hit pause. And in the comments below, like, guess who you think some of my dream guests would be, because I have So many. And then after I proceeded to name a bunch of them and why I wanted to have them on the show, but of course I forgot a million others that I had mentioned over the years. Like, I have so many dream guests. So, you know, off the top of my head, Ray Liotta is a big one. Donald mm-hmm. Sutherland, I am dying to talk to. I saw him on 60 Minutes like a year ago, and it was such a moving, emotional piece. And he just seems to have so much depth and so much. I also kind of like people who have a little self-doubt, and I know that he does, and I'm dying to get to know him and talk to him about all of that. Ethan Hawke, John Travolta, James Caan, Diane Keaton, Mary Tyler Moore is not with us anymore. I've heard a lot of stories about her from people who I've actually had on the show, and they're not really good. But at the same time, I would love to sit down and see what she's really about and if it was the alcoholism speaking. Joe Pesci, Patricia Arquette, Sally Field. Oh, I'd love to have a conversation with her. Lisa Kudrow from Friends. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Isn't she great, Sally Field? I mean,
yeah.
I read her book recently. She has a memoir that maybe she published a year ago or so. And when I was out in California in March, I was interviewing Marion Ross, and I was at her house. And she was telling me that she had just read Sally Field's book. She said, "Did you read Sally Field's book?" And I said, "No, but I've been thinking about it." And she said, "Oh, when I read it, I thought, oh, I don't want to know these things." And then I read it after I left, and I knew exactly what she was talking about. It was kind of like, you know, not a great story, but I really did appreciate her sharing the experiences. So I would love to talk to Sally Field. What do you think? Do you like her?
I you like me, you really like me, of course. But you know who, right? I mean, don't we, aren't there just some things that, you know, you see her as a flying nun? I mean, you just, you know. But you know who I think would have been a fabulous person to interview, and I read her book, and she's no longer with us, would have been Carol Burnett, because she
lived Carol Burnett is with us. Carol Burnett is alive.
She is?
Yes,
oh, my
definitely.
God. So you see how I got that wrong? Wow, I don't know who I'm
She is alive and well, and but I believe she's even working on some new project now, I think. I believe so. I'll have to look that up, but yeah. But people look up to her a lot.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of want to pull your ear. Gosh, well, I apologize to Carol Burnett. I don't know who I was thinking of, but that's what happens on a live radio show, right? You just say what you
that's
say,
right.
And sometimes you don't get it right. Oh, my goodness.
Right, we're all human after all. But, yeah,
really?
Carol Burnett, she would be fun, too, of course. There's some other old-timers, though, who would be cool. Like Carl Reiner is really, like, they have this friendship. Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. Have you seen these two recently? They're in their 90s, and, like, they hang out together every day, and they seem to be as if they're, you know, in their 60s or something. It's so great. I would love to talk to either one of those, too, those guys.
But let me ask you, it's very well established that you are the interviewer to the stars, which is really pretty darn cool. And that is your focus. And I don't want to take you away from that focus. But have you ever just thought about sitting down and interviewing the person that's sitting in front of you at the grocery store and going, gosh, I see you're wearing this T-shirt. It says Make-A-Wish on it. Are you with Make-A-Wish? Have you ever wanted to just because there's so many interest, and that's how I get a lot of my guests, frankly, because sometimes it just starts with a conversation in the market or the bank or somewhere where I'm at with my camera, and the next thing you know, I'm handing a business card to somebody saying, God, I would love to have you on my show. Do you run into people like that where you think, gosh, you are just so fascinating?
Oh, yeah, every day. I mean, I like to have conversations with people. That's just what I'm not only interested in celebrities. I'm interested in people, and that's why I was a therapist. I'm interested in people. As I said about when I worked at Comedy Central, I was interested in my coworkers. So I will always be the person who, you know, if we're at a party or something, I'm going to be sitting down with somebody and getting really deep into their life because I really like to do that. So I'm not going to put them on my show because my show is for celebrities, but at the same time, mm-hmm. they're going to get interviewed by me. It's just like, I can't help it. I like to do it. So I don't know. I think it runs in my family, too. My dad is like that. I mean, he knows everybody who has ever, like, crossed his path more deeply than somebody normally will. And he does the same thing. He's just so interested in people. And I don't know. I think I'm becoming more like that the older that I get, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why, but I am. I'm just fascinated by people. And so I like hearing everything. So, yeah.
I think one of my
talk shows, my TV talk show that I do, I'm interviewing regular people, local people about whatever. So, you know, but for really famous, it's just really famous people.
So I want to go to your TV talk show, but before we get to that, because I'm interested in that, I think that what we could probably both agree upon is that we're public-y people. We're not private people. We don't hide behind a screen. You can tell immediately when you're talking to a total stranger. You can read the body language. You know, there are people that really do live a private life because that's their profession, that's their preference. You're not going to see them on social media, or if they are, all they do is look. They don't post. And they really, no offense to us, they're really not all that interested in us. And they don't really want you to be all that interested in them. And we recognize those people. There are plenty of people like that. Doesn't make them, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just their style, their personality, and I recognize that. But for those people that you're standing in Costco with, that you start talking about when you're looking at cameras, and it's like, what do you like? And really, where do you shoot? And before you know it, you're knee-deep into a conversation about travel with a total stranger because that person loves conversation. And that's what fills my tank. That's what makes me excited about life, and I love that. But you mentioned that you have a TV talk show. I'd like to know a little bit more about that. Tell me about that.
Yeah, let me get back to what you're just saying first, because I think that's interesting, too, what you were saying about, yes, there are people who are like that and people who aren't, and it's perfectly fine, and there's no right way or wrong way. There's no, you should be like this or you should be like that. I think that I can sense if people are into talking or not into talking when I run into them at the grocery store or whatever, but it is a challenge, don't you find this, when you get somebody on the mm-hmm. show and it turns out that they're not into talking? Has that happened to you?
Well, how you and I are different, and it probably, you know, doctor, we could talk about this on the couch, but I produce my show in a much different way than you do. I really do involve my guests being involved in the show. And when my guest says to me prior to the show, "Oh, you're going to have to shut me up because I could go on forever about XYZ." I say, "That is every host's dream. Nothing is worse than saying, "Gee, now what are we going to talk about?" Because that would be awkward, and I don't want to ever find myself in a position where I'm now telling you about the squirrels that I just fed. I don't want to go there. I want my show to be about you, my guest. And so I typically don't have that come up for me because my guests have been prepared in knowing what it is that they'd like me to ask them, because they're promoting something that's really important to them. It's their book. It's their nonprofit. So if you've got that nonprofit with your Boys and Girls Club, you know, what would you like me to ask you about it so that we can make certain that we get this information covered? So typically, I wouldn't have a problem with somebody, I mean, I'm 15 minutes to the end of the hour, and it's like, oh, now what are we going to talk about? So I don't usually have that happen for me.
Well, you're lucky because it does happen. It doesn't happen often for me, but again, it may be the celebrity thing because they have something to promote, but they're not into doing press. So it has happened a couple of times where I felt like, oh, no. And I really, there are two people only who I can think of who I felt like this person really does not want to be here right now. And, you know, I've interviewed probably hundreds at this point. But at the same time, so to come up with two is pretty low. But it is tough because you have to, and I've done this as a therapist as well, where you get somebody who comes in and great, they're seeking out therapy, but maybe they don't really want to do it. And so you really have to find other ways to make the conversation happen if it's not, if they're not responding to what the typical thing is. And then at the same time, I can think of examples of this, especially on the TV talk show where they're fine and I'm talking to them in advance and they're excited about being on, and then the camera clicks on and it's like they freeze. Now this doesn't happen with celebrities ever, but it has happened with kind of like everyday people, non-actors and whatnot, where it really, I can see the nerves come on and like it's just not, it really have to ease them out of it, which is fine. It's part of what I do. But that's really specific to TV. But how about the opposite then? How about when somebody wants to talk and talk and talk, but you know they're start maybe repeating themselves or what they're saying isn't that interesting? How do you handle that?
Yeah, that can be a problem. And I guess that just comes back to corralling the conversation and maybe, you know, segueing into something else. And if you were born to talk, as I was, the kids used to say, Mrs. Kravitz. And I said, I am not Mrs. Kravitz. Do you remember who Mrs. Kravitz is?
Okay, so I know she's from an old school sitcom. Yep. I can't name it. What is it?
Bewitched.
Oh, Bewitched,
Mrs.
of course.
Mrs. Kravitz.
Of course.
Mrs. Kravitz,
oh, the neighbor?
Was the busybody neighbor across the street.
Yep, yep.
And my kids would tease me sometimes, and I would say, I am not Mrs. Kravitz. I'm not a busybody. I'm not looking. I'm only interested in stories and people's stories and connections and community and conversation. And that separates me from Mrs. Kravitz. Thank you so much. And then I would like to take my nose and I'd say, okay, be gone. You know, and I'd just wiggle my nose. But that's just how I work with my children. But back to your TV talk show. So how often are you, where do you do that? How does that work?
So I do that locally. So I have a local station who just has a regular community talk show, and they bring on regular people from the community who maybe people would want to get to know a little bit more about. And I do that once a month, and I will do either two or four segments with different people. And, like, the nice thing about it is that it's just it's a different way to interview people. Like, it is so different when there's a camera rolling. I must say, it's a very different experience. It's not the kind of thing that I really specialize in, which is that deep dive, like really intimate interview. So it's a little bit, you know, it's not my number one preferred way of doing the interviews, but but I do that on the side, and I, you know, all side gigs are welcome, I guess you could say.
Yes, indeed. So what do you do? What do you do, doctor? What do you do when you're not working?
Oh, okay, just to be clear, I'm not a doctor. I was never. I don't have a PhD. I have a master's.
Okay, so
I just don't want to claim to be anyone that I'm not.
There you are, unless you're acting. But what do you do to keep your life in balance? How do you, you go across the country a few times a year. You're interviewing the really famous. It sounds like your life is really, really busy, or another way of saying that, very, very productive. So how do you keep yourself in balance? What do you do personally?
Well, I mean, to tell you the truth, that's just, I run like that. I like it. I like to have things to do. I like being busy. You know, we used to, when I have three kids as well, and when they were little, I remember we used to say, like, okay, who is an innie and an outie? And I wasn't talking about belly buttons, but, like, some people like to be inside. You know, they like to be home a lot. And some people, we would call them innies, and then other people prefer being out and doing things outside of the home, and those are outies. So we kind of made that up. And I am definitely an outie. Like, I like being home sometimes, but I don't want to just be home doing nothing. Like, it's just not for me. I prefer to be out there and kind of mingling and doing things, and I do like to be productive. And so that actually makes me happy. At the same time, I'm not as busy as you think. I am busy, but there are plenty of lulls in there too that you just don't see. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I was saying, when I don't do any interviews for a couple of weeks in a row, let's say, I feel blah. I'm like, I could be working at the computer day after day for weeks at a time home, and I don't that. So that happens too, and I guess that is how that balancing thing goes. I don't prefer that, but I have enough of that so that when I am going around here and there, it all works out. And I always feel like I'm home a lot because I work out of home. And, you know, I walk my dog. I take her for a long walk almost every day. I listen to my podcasts, not really famous, but I listen to other podcasts while I walk her. So I do that every day. We have good family time. I like to settle in with my kids and watch TV or do whatever. So I like to travel, obviously. So yeah, it all seems to work out, and I do like to be somewhat on the go, and I do like to be productive. It's just in my nature.
I can agree with that. For me, I have found that yoga has just sort of balanced me out a little bit, and it's kind of calmed me down a little bit so that I can be more productive and not be so hyped up and hyper, you know, and just, you know, manage my own body temperature a little bit better by just taking a few deep breaths and just understanding that this is the life that I've chosen to live and I'm enjoying it so much. But I find that if I don't do some of that yoga, deep breathing, and just, you know, finding a center, that, you know, that just, that's for me, or grabbing my camera and going outdoors. It's another thing that I just love doing, just to get away from that computer. You know, it's, sometimes it can just hold you hostage. But I just think that I'm very flattered, Kara, that you found me and that you reached out to me and that you have allowed me to enter into your world, which I've really loved. I do follow you, and I think it's really great for those of us in this medium that we do have people that follow us and like us. You know, those are things that help us get the reach out to others. And I certainly feel like this is something that people will be able to do after you listening to our show, that they'll go to your YouTube. And I just do want to remind people that that's youtube.com/reallyfamous. And they can find you. They can find you on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter. I mean, I think you're on Twitter. Do you have a Twitter account as well?
I am on Twitter. I'm at Kara121. You can also just search for Really Famous or Kara Mayer Robinson if you're not that into social media and you're just kind of going on Twitter for the first time. But I would have to say my most active platform is Instagram. I love it. I just think it's so much fun. I actually love going on Instagram, and I post there a lot. And I do a lot of extra videos there. I think you saw the one I filmed the other day when I was outside of the studios where Jane the Virgin was filmed. I just, in the moment, I was walking along Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach on my way back to the hotel and just about to head out of town. And I thought, oh, wait, these studios are right here. Let me just pull over and just do a little quick video, and I can show all my followers what was filmed here, because I know I would be interested in it. So I think they will be too. Right. So I just popped over and did a little video, threw that up there. So if you're only listening to the podcast, you won't get those fun things. But the podcast itself is, of course, where the major conversations happen.
Right. I think what you just said was really important, which was, I find it interesting, so I think my followers will as well, and that's very important. You made that as a passing comment, but in reality, in the world that you and I are both in, that's very true. I find it really interesting. I was by these studios. I think I'll take a video of it because I thought this was interesting, and you're right. Your guests, your followers are going to say, "Wow, I'm never going to make it out to Manhattan Beach. I know where Manhattan is in New York, but that's not the beach she's talking about." And I think that that's just tremendous. I love that. That's a great, great message. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time today to join me and to have you get to tell your story to my listeners. And for those of you that have been listening, you know, you can easily find Kara, and I want you to know how it's K-A-R-A, and Mayer is M-A-Y-E-R, Robinson with S-O-N, just in case you have you want to find out how to spell her name. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to spend this time with you today. Thank you so very much, Kara, for joining me.
Thank you, Marcia. Thank you. It was a fun conversation. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Okay, everybody, so, you know, this is today's show, and, you know, we turn around and we have another show the following week, and you aren't going to believe, talking about celebrities, I'm having Angie and Ruthie McCartney on my show. Now, that last name might be a hint to who they are related to, and I will just leave it at that yes, Sir Paul might be part of that family. So I'm going to be having them join me next week. So until next time, everybody, have a super week, and I'll look forward to having you joining me soon. Thanks again, Kara. Thanks for being with me today. And goodbye, everybody.